We continue our sermon series in the month of August as we look at what the Bible has to say about church membership. What does it look like to be a member of the body of Christ? God has a design to not just save us unto heaven, but to redeem us into the family of God. His word speaks clearly about what it is to be a member of the body of Christ. These things that we're looking at are not take it or leave it prescriptions. They're not optional. These are the evidences of the saved, that we understand what God has done in our salvation unto the things that He has sanctifying and preparing us and motivating us to do. And so it is my prayer as we interact with things such as these that we are honest and introspective to say, Lord, help me see where I have made excuses, where I have been disobedient, where I can grow and expand and be stretched and sacrificial, whatever it is that God wants to do in and through you, that it would be a beautiful thing. There's five main areas, commitments for each member to be participating in the local body of church that we've identified in the last few years and teach as a part of our covenant membership process. I'm taking this month of August to teach on these. And so far we've looked at worship, how important it is that our worship, our lives as the redeemed are honoring God, are worshiping Him. It is important that we value and prioritize corporate worship, to come together and sing and savor our Lord. That you have an important part every week to play in corporate worship. Even if you don't have a job to do that Sunday morning, your presence, your smile, your hug, your voice, your presence in this family is essential. It is important. Part of our worship is our daily time of prioritizing time with our King. That it would not be a good idea that my relationship with God would be number one, but it would be a reality for us. That we love spending time with Him in His Word, in prayer. That if one had a full view into our day, that they wouldn't see, where is your relationship with God? It can't just be an idea. It has to be practiced. Are you prioritizing time? It just can't be a good idea that I have a good marriage with Jennifer if I'm not prioritizing time with her. To be with her and talk with her and love her. I can't be at a distance and just say, oh, we have a good relationship. Same with our King. Are you prioritizing daily worship? And then financial worship. That He has given us everything that we have, everything that we are is His. Who are we to be saved, to be now a part of His eternal kingdom? All that He wants to do and say, you know what, God, I'm going to spend all of my money the way I want to. Use my treasures and my time the way I want to. No, instead, Lord, this is yours. How am I pushing it out? How am I making changes so that my priorities are you? We looked at service and why it's important for us to be using the gifts that God's given us. The Holy Spirit moving and stirring, empowering each of us with different gifts. How are those gifts active? That changes season to season. You might have a long stretch of using a certain gift in an amazing way, and there might be a new season by which now you're saying, okay, I'm going to serve in the church in this way. I love to see that sometimes in those transitionary seasons or in different times where men and women will use their gifts because of where they're needed. It's not necessarily even the thing they love the most, but they say, I see a need, I will commit to being faithful to that. Not only are we serving each other within the church, are we serving outside the church, looking to be the sacrificial love of Jesus to those who are lost. We talked about testimony and how God has given us a life-changing testimony that we need to unstop our mouths and risk, both in word and deed, the sharing of the good news with those who are lost. Even if it means we are laughed at, mocked, persecuted, the scriptures say. We should expect to be persecuted, to be pressed on, to be... We are exiles in this land. We should not be fitting in. We should be seen as different. And if we're recognizing the priority of the local church, it is that we are testifying. One of the main points of the job description of our new family pastor is to help bring into fuller practice this longing I've had for a long time that we would be better at testimony. I long for every week for a testimony to be shared amongst us so that we can see how God is at work in and through us. Testimonies that are filmed and even put up on our website. Testimony that's shared better. We learn the practice of testifying even with one another in our groups, in our different settings. Today, I want to talk about accountability. And then next week, Pastor Mike Gleim, as our guest speaker, him and Hannah coming into town. Talked with him yesterday again, excited. He's going to bring a special word to wrap this series in talking about discipleship. So we will hit all five in this series before we turn to the next. Today, accountability. Pray with me. Father, we are here to understand your word. The Holy Spirit to stir in our hearts, not just to go through the experiences of Sunday morning routine, but to interact with the living God. You are the living God, and you're in this place, and you want to work. I pray, Lord, that we would be here. I know sometimes we like to ask that you would come be here, but your word says that you're here, that you are present in more ways that we could ever know or understand. I pray that we would be here and focused on what you have for us today. Speak through me and move upon hearts and change lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Accountability. Even as I mentioned the word accountability, some of you go, "Oh man, really? How quickly can next week come?" So, what is accountability? Accountability is the act of being accountable. Being accountable means that you are exposing and explaining what you do or doing, why you are doing it. You are not pulling back onto yourself certain elements of your life. You are accountable to someone else. You are exposing and responsible to others. This is something that in our sin, we do not like to do at all. The last thing we want to do, if we're really honest, is be accountable to others, to expose the fullness of who we are so that others have view of it. Our sin says, I don't care what this person thinks. I'm going to do it my way. Now, you may not have this attitude with everything, but the problem arises when you are not accountable in certain things. Those are potentially the things that we're most vulnerable to. Things that you don't want exposed end up causing us in sin to slip into compromise, into addiction, into adultery, into cheating, and other forms of sin. God has blessed us, the church, in His mercy to redeem us from sin unto a life of accountability. What this means is that we enter into a lifestyle that is counterculture to the sinful preference to be left alone. The culture says, each person unto themselves, you leave each other alone. That's sin. That is dictating that governing value. But for the sake of the glory of God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we highly value accountability in the church because it protects us from falling into sin, practicing sin, from hidden, God-belittling habits, and it helps us keeps our affections centered on Christ and all He has for us. Oh, how we need to value and practice accountability. I want to look at a couple different aspects of accountability this morning. There's some big ones that I really want to hit on. It's a big topic in Scripture, but we're going to take a stab at some of these big ones this morning. I'm sorry I don't have sermon notes for you today. We moved offices this week, so we're in a new location. Part of that movement that the printer was down, and so, you know, scratch on your neighbor's arm and then tell them to call you back later to remind you what you learned, all right? Romans 14, 11 through 12. We'll have them on the screen here. We have to see, first of all, that we're accountable to God. Look at it with me. For it is written, "As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God." No matter what you think about God, you will one day bow before him. Why will you bow? Because you will be in the eternal, magnificent presence of the living God. And whether you think you can sustain it or whatever, we use this word that we're going to stand before God one day. No, we won't. We will bow before God one day. We will not be so arrogant in the real presence of the living God to stand before him. We will bow. Every person will give an account for their life before the living God. This is probably the most underestimated, underplayed event that we will ever have. People love to speak of how they plan to show God the good they did in this life. They plan to reason with God. Oh, how mistaken we are, because in God's perfection, his justice and his judgment are upheld in every way. God will not be reasoned with. He will judge each person in the finest detail. God will judge every human being that ever lived to the finest detail. Proverbs 29:26. Many seek the ruler's favor, but every man's judgment cometh from the Lord. King James Version. Love how it says that. Hebrews 9:27. And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment. For those who do not trust their lives, this should be the most serious, fearful event of one's existence. For those who do trust Jesus with their lives, we praise God, for the gospel of Jesus Christ pardons us from the deserved punishment of our sin. 1 Peter 2:24, he himself, Jesus, bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds we have been healed. Psalm 103:12, as far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. Colossians 2:13, and you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses. For the unsaved in the room today, you have come to the right place today so that you can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, that God in flesh did something unbelievable. We call it amazing grace, and paid the price that we deserve to pay, took on the judgment that we deserve to reap. Those who repent of their sin and confess in Jesus as Lord are saved, are justified, are adopted, And when we bow before Jesus one day, Jesus, God will see Christ's perfection, His atoning work on our behalf. And we will have eternal life with Him. He will not see our sin and failure because it is paid for. For those who are in the room today who are unsaved, there is no greater priority in your life than to recognize you're standing before the living God and His judgment seat. I implore you to look upon the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. And if you savor what you see in the gospel, it means that God has unstopped your ears and opened your eyes to salvation, to true repentance of sin, turning from it, hating sin, unto a life by which your life is totally His. Believing, trusting your life to Him. The Bible says, repent and believe in Him for life, for justification, for eternal satisfaction with Him. For the saved, this atoning work of Jesus is the reason why we praise God. The gospel is our constant motivation for praise and exaltation of His name. We never cease to praise His amazing grace that set us free. For the saved, we are given other things to be accountable to in the economy of what it now means to be His children. And so we turn to those as we move forward. Number two, we are accountable to the authority of the Word of God. God is specific not only in delivering His Word, but in enduring His Word for generations unto the command that we are not to only read it, but to be accountable to living what it tells us to do unto His glory. James 1:22, be doers of the Word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. It is deception, church, to hear the Word and then to not do it. We are called to be obedient, to be submissive, to be accountable to the Word of God. Whoever keeps His Word, in Him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in Him. How do we know that we are in Him? You keep His Word. We cannot just hear the Word of God and then move on. We must act on it, live it. It must affect us, sanctify us, grow us, motivate us. We are accountable to the living Word of God. Listen to the directness of Jesus in His words. John 14:23-24. This needs to hit us right between the eyes. It needs to cause us to be very slow and reflective. Jesus answered them, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my word. And the word that your heart and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Our full and right submission to the authority of the Word of God is so serious. The Scriptures give warning for those who do not submit to them to it, who are not accountable by it. They say, I love God, I love parts of His Word, but I will not be accountable to the full Word of God. I will pick my own avenues by which I want to do this or that. Proverbs 13:13, whoever despises the Word brings destruction on himself, but he who reveres the commandment will be rewarded. This is the season we're in as a church, where we are trying to bring the Word of God as the authority in our lives to the center again, that it would trump our traditions, our preferences, our comfortable pursuit of God, and it would set us ablaze, that it would ignite our faith unto a whole new level. I am amazed excited, privileged to hear so many of you sharing this kind of testimony with me. Praise God, Pastor, for what He is doing in my life through His living Word. It is essential that we study, believe in, abide in, teach accordingly, and hold every word of God precious. The problem is our tendency is to only submit to the rationale of our human mind instead of the authority of the Almighty God and His eternal Word. And as a result, we form different views of who God is, how He acts or doesn't act, based more on our personal feelings or logic than of the divine perfection of His written Word to us. And this is so dangerous, so detrimental to the church. Instead, we need to take very seriously the Word of God, to submit to its authority and conform to His image, not to try to make Him conform to our preferred ideals. Do you want God's Word to change you, to conform you into His likeness? I'm asking you to take this seriously, to be accountable to the Word. There's great warning, 2 Timothy 4, 3-4, for the time is coming where people will not endure sound teaching. They will run out of gas. They will say, I'm done. I'm going to go a different way. I'm comfortable at this point in the journey. I'm going to stay here. I'm not going to endure the ongoing sanctification of what the Word's doing in my life. I've found my spot. I'm good with this. There will be a time when we not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. We are accountable to the Word. I went back and listened recently to my sermon from the last Sunday of 2013, as we went into this new year of 2014. And in the end of that sermon, I made a plea with you that you hold me accountable to leading us in the Word, not in my own preferences. But we must go to the Word. The Word must lead us, direct us, shape us. So I remind you of that today, that we together would cling to the living Word and not just want our ears to be itched with things that are comfortable, things that are funny, things that are fun, things that don't challenge me, move me, sanctify me. We would submit ourselves to it. We were at war with our sin and selfishness and our self-reign. We love to rule. We love to be in charge. We must realize that we are desperate for the authority of God's Word to correct our futile view of God, self, world, and everything in it. We're desperate for His Word to lead us with authority, to be accountable to His Word. Next, we are accountable to the authority of the elders in the local church. We talk about accountability in the local church, God's design, His economy, His perfect model is that there would be shepherds of equal value to the members, but that are gifted and called to shepherd and lead and direct the local church. Hebrews 13:17 uses strong language. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Those who are called to the office of pastor, elder, shepherd will give an account. I will be accountable in a different way than the members of the church will be, a greater way. It says in the Bible that I'm not just responsible for myself, I am also responsible for you. This is why I love you enough to not just placate your desires and keep you happy right where you're at. Because we will face the judgment of God according to the things of God that He has given us. And we cannot make light of those things. It should be our joy to do this. The scriptures clearly command Christians to submit to and honor those that God has put over them to lead them. This is important for the modern church to hear and act on. It does not say obey and submit only when it's in line with what you want. It says obey and submit to those that God has put over you. So it's not a preferential debate of here's my preferences and they're not in line with this. The Bible says that you don't get that choice. You are to submit and obey to those. If there's a sinful action happening, then there is teaching in the Bible according to recourse and reprimand that needs to happen. You should not ever follow any leadership unto the disobedience of God. Again, accountability is not, in our flesh, a fun one. But it is real, and it is God's plan for us. The question is, who has God put over you? And this is why we're pressing for every one of us to act upon covenant membership. Because by refusing to commit to one another, by refusing to say, I will submit myself to the local leadership and these things that we're talking about, you are standing outside the box to say, I'm here on my own terms. I'm not here unto the things the scripture is calling me to do to be committed at these levels. And so then that's dangerous. If you're standing outside this box in some way, then who are you really submitting to? Any elder, any pastor, preacher that you decide to like or love? That can lead to very dangerous roads. Those people don't know you, aren't walking with you to be able to hold you accountable and journey with you. That's why the local church is so important. Sometimes we get to a crossroads and we say, you know what I don't like? So I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go somewhere else. And can I just say this with love? The church, in God's word, is not like a restaurant. That when the menu changes over different seasons, your favorite waiter retires or takes another job, that you say, you know what? Let's find a new favorite restaurant. This accountability the flock is called to is one of commitment, obedience, and submission. I'm not saying this just so you will follow my will. I'm saying this because this is God's will, that we are accountable to our pastoral elders. And we shouldn't do that lightly. We should be praying heavily, regularly, looking to support and come around to help lessen the burden as much as possible. Been studying a lot lately on deacon leadership according to the scriptures. It's an office that we have not practiced here at Olive Drive in a lot of years. I don't know even if when we did practice it back in the day, it was according to the scriptures or not. I do know that I feel convicted that we need to bring a level of deacon leadership back into place here. Why? Because as the New Testament church found, there are many duties that must be done that the eldering body, shepherding body can't do everything. There's acts of service and task that need to be done and delegated according to approved, vetted deacons. Diversify and help carry that load. And so we're on a journey. I think we've mentioned that a few years back. If that will come at some point, we're starting to ramp that up. I look forward to sometime soon in the season to come by which we'll study that and put that office back into place here at Olive Drive. As we speak of being accountable to your pastoral elders and me being your lead pastor and biblical elder in this season, there's nothing about this role that I take flippantly or lightly. The Bible is clear that I face stronger and more harsh and scrutinized judgment for how I lead you This is not a cakewalk. We each have an important role to play. This, again, is why it is so important that we continue to move towards biblical eldership, continue to prioritize the discipleship of some of the men that God is calling to that role, to sanctify, to be vetted, to be proven unto a plurality. Why? Because in the new modern church example, by which one man stands over everyone else, there's danger in that, because in his weaknesses, the church will struggle. But God has designed a protection, a community, a plurality by which decisions are shared, checks and balances, that there is accountability amongst each other. I want to ask for your prayers in this coming season as I am ramping up more the vetting and preparation for those who are to come. We continue to pray for our current elder board and the unity and the work that's being done. I continue to praise God for how I see Him at work in that group. The Bible clearly says that I, as an elder pastor, am accountable for the local body that is among me. 1 Peter 5:1, I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partner of the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you. So we see context for local community commitment, both by the members to their local leadership and by that local leadership to those members. What we need is a commitment to fellowship of members who have coveted to submit to the elders of this church, and those elders coveted to be responsible for the members of this body. So yes, I am longing for us to continue to move towards a unification of that. And the simple definitions of covenant membership are not trying to be fancy and out of the box, just simply looking at the Bible, and what are we called to do? So I pray for your conviction unto taking those steps with us. Next, we are accountable to each other. I love this passage in Galatians 6, verse 1 and 2. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness, keeping watch over yourself, lest you be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. If your brother and sister in Christ has done something contrary to the Scriptures, you are called not to stand by and watch, because you don't want to get messy too. No, we are called to act, to confront lovingly, comfort, forgive, and hold accountable. In addition to this, it also admonishes you to consider yourself, because no one is above temptation. So we're careful as we do those things, that we don't also fall into the temptation. James 5:16, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Sometimes I read that verse and I just wonder if some people say, that is so not practical. I am not going to confess my sins to someone else. I'll do that to God. Let me be clear. To be saved, it is our repentance and belief in God that does that. So there is no modern church hierarchy by which sins must be confessed to a man or ongoing way. All of our past, present, future sins are forgiven unto salvation. But there's a practice according to Scripture that we are to be accountable to one another. Not on our own little journey, separate. This is what I'm struggling with and no one knows. But sharing with one another, accountable to one another. It says the prayer of a righteous person is great power and is working. Do you believe in that? Are you trusting in God's word to direct us in these things? The privilege of bearing one another's burdens is amazing in the life of the body. It is a joy to be leaned on in hard times. God's design is that every believer has a community of people around them by which they know each other and are committed to carrying each other's burdens. When one mourns in the body, we mourn around them. When one is celebrating, we celebrate with them. The privilege of inviting each other to be held accountable is amazing. A healthy church is filled with men and women who are willing to engage one another over sin and are willing to be engaged, are inviting each other in. So a healthy church is filled with men and women who, if they see their brother or sister struggling, they engage them. How are you doing? What are you doing? What is this? I love you enough to say, what is this? You're in a relationship that's not honoring God. It looks like you have a practice by which you're increasing your debt, or you're playing with addiction, by which you're not forgiving sin. You're holding on to it in anger. You're not pursuing growth and discipleship. You're staying still and neutral. I'd love you to bring up those sins and to try to bring you through that and to press you back into Christ. And the other brothers and sisters who receive that are willing to receive it. They don't push back and pry and say, who are you? You don't get to talk about that part of my life. But they say, no, please, thank you for loving me. I get checked by one of the brothers in the club who's a very high-ranking officer in the club. We were in a really important conversation, and he just said something about me, and he said, let's acknowledge this. He wasn't saying that I was in sin. He said, let's acknowledge this unique aspect of who you are, and let's be attentive to that. You know what my response was? Instead of looking at him going, who are you to bring that? My first response was, first of all, thank you for loving me enough to put that out on the table. Let's talk about that. Let's make sure we're attentive to that. I need you in that journey with me. And let me share with you where my heart is so that you know. And we'll watch out to make sure the enemy doesn't get to come in and break that down. We should love to be confronted in the body of Christ. Outside the body of Christ in sin, oh, nothing in our sin that wants to be confronted. But watch this. In the body of Christ, the Bible says that that is something we not only do, but we do it with joy. It is, why? Because it's an act of love. I love you enough not to leave you in your mess, but to get messy with you in order that we would help you see sanctification and press into Christ out of this mess. It's still hard to confront one another, but that's why we need a platform by which we have clearly asked each other to do this. This is another measure where covenant membership is important. When we walk through that class, when we work through the covenant, we are saying this is a formal step by which you are saying to the rest of the church and to the elders, I'm inviting you into my life. So when you do that down the road, I'm not going to be surprised pushing back. There is now a place of agreement where we can look back to together, and I can be reminded that I did that. If we never take that step, we honestly don't know if that is where you're at and what you want. And the problem is, when that gets messy, and in your sin, you are pushing back on it, we have no means by which to bring you to a place of accountability according to what we've agreed on. And so it's just a simple clarity that says, I'm inviting you in. I don't get to act as a lone ranger in this. I want to be held according to Scripture. I like to define Christian accountability this way. It's inviting others into your life in such a way that they know you and your struggles to the point where they are walking with you through them as you seek to press into Christ and honor God with your life. What accountability is not, and we've kind of turned this into this in the church, is we have accountability partners. What that looks like is you meet once a week, once every other month. You ask some probing questions to each other. And you don't really know what's going on in their life. You're just kind of trying to do that. And the reality is those relationships often are filled with a lot of lies. Because we have not risked enough with each other, not only to say, hey, you have permission to ask me occasionally, but I'm going to go so far I actually invite you in. I want to show you. So we have men and women who struggle with pornography. And so instead of saying, hey, just pray for that, and I'm over here dealing with it, there's tools and online stuff now where those who are in accountability with you, they receive a list every week of anything controversial that you've seen. That is accountability. Because now they're with you in it. And every time you're at that computer, you know, I'm not alone. Everything I'm about to look at, these people are going to see too. Do you see how good that is? Or financially, we have people who are now growing in the practice of letting their brothers and sisters into their financial practices, getting away from debt and overspending and trying to find their joy in the stuff of the world, overworking. The regular conversation I have with some of those that I'm running with where literally I get to see their personal budgets, their personal decision making. They're inviting me in to say, Pastor, love me, brother, love me enough to point out what I'm unwilling to see here. Do you invite others around you into your life? Who is that in your life right now? And does that relationship need to get to a deeper place? Because it is still very surfacey, by which a lot of deception can still happen. Are you open with them and accountable to them? This is the open-handed life, the humble approach to life. Sin does not have a lot of room to fester in this kind of environment. Because you have shined the light on everything. You don't have aspects of it that are in the dark where sin can fester. When we run solo, we pull back. When we're just kind of connected, not very accountable, sin has room to reign in our lives. So even though for some of you who think, maybe you're thinking, even right now in this moment, you're thinking of hidden sin that not everyone around you knows about. You're thinking nobody knows. You're thinking, I'm good. I don't need to venture into this. This would be messy. I'm going to keep it the way it is. I'm going to pray that those dark habits go away on my own. Can I just remind you what the Word says? Luke 8:17, for nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest. Nor is anything secret that will not be made known and come to the light. You may think you're getting away with it now. It will be brought to the light. That is the mercy of God upon us, to not leave us in that stuff. And as the church, we are to embrace this economy and not wait to be caught. But we practice repentance. I see that I am sinfully practicing this thing. I'm bringing it to someone else to say, I need to repent of this and I need your help to join me in it. That's accountability. This is also why in covenant membership, we're asking everyone to participate in an annual reaffirmation of their covenant. That is your opportunity to take an hour or so. Well, I promise you, we're going to continue to refine that practice. I know it's been frustrating as we've launched it. We excited for the family pastor to get here and help us refine it on a whole other level. But that is your moment annually to sit and look over these aspects of the covenant commitment of what we're doing together, our mission, the Word of God that He's given us, and say, how am I doing? It is a chance for you to be introspective, to say, God, show me these things that I'm walking in sin or weak in or need to grow in. And then it's also an opportunity to celebrate. God, look at how you've grown me in this area this year. Look at how you're moving in my life. Praise you, Father. And so don't be flippant with that. Take it seriously. Submit to your leadership that's saying this is an important thing. Once a year, please prepare. In the coming months, we'll be getting that to you and go at that in hopefully a better way than we have in the first 2 years. Imagine a church that loves each other so much that we look forward to reaffirming our commitment to each other regularly. Imagine the effectiveness of such a group. For those of you who are skeptical of such a process, let me ask you this. What successful business, company, group that involves many others to succeed skips this? Do you think the Lakers, as they're gathering now and practicing for the season to launch, preparing for the new season, that they go into that without reaffirmation for their values, for their playbook, their commitments? No, just because Kobe is a veteran player on that team doesn't mean he gets to not be part of that with the team. Just because he's done many years there, every year his re-up and affirmation, the unity of that team to say, this is who we are, this is what we're going to do this season, is an essential component to its success under the next season. And you can pick any other successful entity, they're going to do that well. Just because he liked the playbook of the prior coach better doesn't mean he gets to skip out on the commitment to fully commit and be accountable under that team for that next season now. Annual reaffirmation is one of those key practices where we need to joyfully submit to wanting to be accountable to each other. It is frustrating for me that we have to take months and phone calls and emails to get people to take that step. If you are a faithful part of this body, you should act on that quickly, efficiently, because you see it's important, because you're heeding to the leadership of those that God's put over you to say, this is important. I'm going to do it. Without it, we drift, we wander, we fall away, we make excuses, we let each other down. With it, we regroup, we set into a new year, everybody on board, ready to engage according to our mission, and we press forward. So I want to close with this. If you've been coming over the last few weeks, hearing these teachings, these sermons, this is not a throwaway series. This is an important time in the life of our church to come together. This interim two-year season is not a throwaway season unto the new campus that's coming. It is a vital season in the life of our church. I am serious about each one of you taking seriously who are you inviting in this coming season. I am serious about each one of you taking seriously making the commitment for covenant membership with us and being all the way on board. It's not helping the boat move forward when you got two arms on the side of the boat and the rest of your body's dragging in the water. Get in the boat with us and let's go. I'm saying this to all of us. The same message going to the other service. All of us need to do this without excuse. For those of you convicted today that you've been running too much on your own outside of accountability, I implore you to risk and reach out to the mature in faith around you and start that journey to get involved in community, to take some of these steps. Who are you accountable to? Are you accountable to God's word? Are you reading it, savoring it, submitting to it? Is it your joy to submit to God, to trust in his plan and provisions for you, to submit to the leaders he's placed over you? Are you accountable? My deep desire is that this church is accountable to each other, to our Lord, to his word, to our leaders, in all these ways that his scriptures speak that we are to be. I am excited about what this looks like moving forward when we do this. Let's worship him together. Pray with me. Father, you are worthy of all of our lives. You have bought us with a high price, and so, Lord God, that we would be humble, joyful, repentant, purposeful to be fully engaged in these things. Help us to flee from the desire to just be comfortable. Do not let me or our elders or our staff lead us in such a way where we make decisions just to keep us comfortable. That we would lead and go forward and be the church that you have designed us to be unto the mission that you have set before us in every way. For your glory and others' good. Hear us as we sing in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with us as we sing.